The following is a recording for Credicorp, scheduled on Tuesday, February 6, 2018, at 8:30 a.m. Central Time. Excuse me, everyone. We now have our speaker in conference. Please be aware that each of your lines is in a listen-only mode. At the conclusion of today's presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At that time, instructions will be given as to the procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. It is now my pleasure to turn the conference over to Credicorp's Chief Financial Officer, Fernando Dasso. Mr. Dasso, you may begin.
Good morning and welcome to Credicorp's conference call on our earnings results for the fourth quarter and full year 2017. Before we review Credicorp's performance, I would like to take a few minutes to look at the Peruvian macro environment. 2017 registered slower growth due to the El Niño phenomenon, the Lava Jato case, and political noise. We estimate that real GDP growth will situate at 2.4%, while domestic demand will only expand 1.8% in 2017. Looking at 2018, we decided to reduce our GDP growth forecast from 4.2% to 3.5%, mainly due to political uncertainty and risks in the construction sector. Nonetheless, 2018 will be better than 2017, as we expect GDP and domestic demand would grow around 3.5%. Our forecast for 2018 is driven by the following factors. First, a favorable international environment. As you can see in chart one, the IMF recently made an upward revision to the world's GDP growth forecast for 2018 from 3.7% to 3.9%, which is the highest print in 7 years. Second, as chart 2 shows, the price of copper stands around $3.2 per pound and has increased around 60% compared to 2 years ago. Moreover, the price of zinc currently stands near a maximum level for the last 10 years. Third, as you can see on chart 3, financial conditions are positive as demand for Peruvian debt has remained strong and sovereign yields have fallen considerably since last year. On the local front, countercyclical monetary and fiscal policies will boost economic activity. The central bank lowered its reference rate 100 basis points in 2017, and an additional 25 basis reduction was taken in January 2018. We expect another 25 basis points rate cut in 2018, and then inflation is likely to gradually increase, and we foresee end-of-the-period inflation near 2.5%. In addition, public investment is expected to grow around 10% this year after a 10% year-over-year contraction during the first semester of 2017. All in all, as you can see in chart 4, economic growth in Peru will outperform the main economies of the region if new downturn risks do not materialize. Finally, in 2018, we expect the exchange rate to close between 3.2 and 3.25 soles per US dollar, as this year the surplus in our trade balance will reach its highest print in 6 years. Let's review Credicorp's financial performance. Next page, please. Regarding our quarterly financial figures, in the fourth quarter of 2017, Credicorp reported net income of 1,064 million soles. That includes the gain for the sale of an equity position, which amounted to 164 million soles. This led to a return on average equity and average assets of 19.5% and 2.5% respectively. Credicorp's performance in the fourth quarter was driven by, first, nominal loan growth of 2.8% quarter over quarter and 3% year-over-year in average daily balances, which represent the highest quarterly growth rates posted in 2017. Second, net provisions for loan losses increased 16.7% Q-over-Q after reaching their lowest level in the previous quarter. As a result, the cost of risk increased 17 basis points. Third, net interest income increased but at a lower rate than average daily loan balances because loan growth was led by wholesale banking, In this context, the net interest margin contracted 4 basis points Q over Q and 30 basis points year over year. All of the aforementioned, together with a normalized cost of risk, translated into a decrease of 17 basis points Q over Q and year over year in the risk-adjusted net interest margin. Fourth, the efficiency ratio increased by 160 basis points Q over Q and 180 basis points year over year due to the seasonality in operating expenses every fourth quarter, as well as to an increase in expenses for the strategic project transformation. Finally, in terms of capital ratios at BCP standalone, the Common Equity Tier 1 ratio fell 10 basis points Q over Q, mainly due to higher growth rate in quarter end loan balance. Next slide, please. Let's review Credicorp's annual results. As you can see in the graph, Credicorp has managed to grow steadily in a scenario marked by a much slower pace of growth in the Peruvian economy and by aggressive competition. In this context, we have managed to leverage the different capabilities that we have strengthened over time to preserve our profitability. Significant improvement in risk management, as well as discipline and governance in costs, have been the most important drivers of 2017's results. All of these allowed Credicorp to post a record high in net income of 4.1 billion soles in 2017. These results show Credicorp's resilience and represent an ROE of 19.8% and an ROA of 2.5% for 2017. The results in 2017 are explained by the following. First, the expansion of 1.9% in the total loan portfolio in average daily balances. This was led by Mibanco, SME Pyme, and mortgage, primarily in local currency. Nonetheless, the loan book measured in quarter-end balances grew 6% due to gradual recovery at year-end driven by wholesale banking. Second, low loan growth in average daily balances coupled with the loan mix and the contraction in margins within wholesale banking led to a contraction of 14 bps in NIM with regard to a level posted in 2016. Third, the cost of risk fell 10 basis points and situated at 1.78%, which is the lowest level since 2012. This contraction attenuated the drop in risk-adjusted NIM. Fourth, control and governance over operating expenses allowed Credicorp to maintain its efficiency ratio relatively stable in 2017. Finally, BCP standalone comfortably reached a Common Equity Tier 1 ratio of 11.8% at the end of 2017. This was mainly attributable to a higher level of credit risk weighted assets, in line with loan expansion at the end of 2017. Let's review these results in more detail. Next page, please. On this page, you can see the evolution in the fourth quarter of the loan book, which is the most important interest-earning asset and the key driver of net interest income and NIM. First, as you can see in the chart at the top of the left-hand side, loan expansion Q over Q was mainly driven by wholesale banking, followed by SME Pyme and Mibanco. The year-over-year analysis shown in the chart at the bottom of the left-hand side was led by middle market banking, SME Pyme, and mortgage within BCP standalone, and by Mibanco and BCP Bolivia. Second, the dynamic of loan growth has changed the loan mix. As you can see in the bar chart on the right-hand side, higher margin business segments increased their share of total loans by 0.8 percentage points year over year. Finally, it is important to note that after a decision to resume growth in the consumer and credit card segments, these portfolios reported growth rates of 2.4% and 3.3% respectively. The aforementioned represents a substantial improvement in the dynamic given that these segments reported either contraction or very low growth in previous quarters of 2017. Next page, please. On this slide, you can see the year-over-year evolution of loan dollarization. It is important to highlight that, first, the current level of foreign currency loans is not a concern. Second, the higher level of foreign currency loans at Credicorp and BCP is mainly due to loan growth in corporate banking, which in turn is related to clients that generate income in dollars. Third, as is shown in the chart at the bottom on the right-hand side, the level of clients that are highly exposed to foreign exchange risk is nearly zero. This type of exposure has reached its lowest level at the end of December 2017. Next page, please. Credicorp's funding structure has changed throughout 2017 to stabilize the funding cost, which had begun increasing in 2015. It is important to note the increase in the share of total deposits, which is the funding source with the lowest cost. Moreover, bonds and subordinated debt also grew at the end of 2017. All the aforementioned allowed the group to replace DCRP instruments and due to banks, which have fallen in 2017. In the chart, we can also see that Credicorp's cost of funding maintained at a relatively stable level in 2017 and posted an increase of only 2 basis points. It is important to note that funding costs stabilized in the second half of the year. Finally, the loan-to-deposit ratio maintained a downward trend throughout 2017 and reached a level below that posted at the end of 2016. Next page, please. With regard to risk quality, this has been a successful year after 3 years of comprehensive efforts to enhance Credicorp's commercial and risk management capabilities. As you can see in the chart at the top, Credicorp's cost of risk reached a level of 1.78%, which is the lowest level reported since 2012, the year prior to the acquisition of Mibanco and to Peru's economic slowdown. This result is even more noteworthy if we consider that provisions made in 2017 included those made for the El Niño phenomenon and the Lava Jato case. As such, the cost of risk for the underlying portfolio, which excludes the one-off provisions, dropped from 188% in 2016 to 166% in 2017, as depicted by the dotted light blue line. The drop in the cost of risk was in turn due to an improvement in risk quality in most business segments. Finally, as we mentioned in our last two conference calls, we have room to increase the speed of growth in the consumer and credit card segment, which will allow us to maximize portfolio profitability while keeping the book within the organization's risk appetite. Next page, please. On this page, you can see the evolution of net interest income and NIM. Considering that there is loan seasonality in our banking business, let's focus on the full year analysis. As we explained earlier, average daily loan balances expanded 1.9% in 2017, which translated into an increase of 2.5% in net interest income. This result was due to, first, the positive effect of a different mix in the portfolio, where high margin business segments increased their share of total loans, and second, more active management of the investment portfolio in a context of low loan growth that allowed us to maximize profitability of investment. All of the aforementioned offset the effect of low loan growth and the contraction in margins in wholesale banking due to aggressive competition. However, average interest earning assets expanded 5.2%, topping growth in net interest income. The former was attributable to an improvement in loan growth towards the end of the year. Thus, Credicorp's NIM contracted 14 bps in 2017. In this context, the reduction of provisions for loan losses led to a smaller contraction of risk-adjusted NIM, which fell only 8 basis points. Next page, please. In terms of operating efficiency, Credicorp's efficiency ratio increased 160 bps quarter-over-quarter and 180 basis points year-over-year, which was mainly attributable to the seasonality in operating expenses every fourth quarter and to higher expenses for the strategic project transformation at BCP. On an annual basis, the efficiency ratio increased 20 basis points and still traded at 43.7%. This was attributable to low loan expansion, which led operating income to grow below expectations. This scenario was nonetheless partially offset by adequate control of operating expenses, which were pressured by increasing operating expenses for the strategic project transformation, mainly at BCP standalone. It is important to note the improvement that Mibanco has posted in efficiency, which was due to a better-than-expected result in earnings generation that offsets slight deterioration at other subsidiaries. Next page, please. On this page, you can see our guidance for full year 2018. We are introducing a more structured and formal process to provide guidance about credit card's main indicators, which we will present during the conference call every fourth quarter and review on a quarterly basis going forward. The first part of the table shows our estimate for macroeconomic indicators in 2018 that we discussed at the beginning of this call. The second part of the table shows Credicorp's estimates for the main business indicators. Loan growth for full year 2018, measured in average daily balances, should be between 6% and 8%. This growth will come from, first, Mibanco and SME PME segment that we expect to expand at a higher rate than the total portfolio. This is in line with a recovery expected in domestic demand, which started posting better dynamics at the end of last year. Second, the mortgage, consumer financing, and SME business segments should grow at similar rates to that of our total portfolio. With regard to consumer financing, which includes consumer loans and credit cards, we have identified growth pockets, as we mentioned in our second and third quarter conference calls. Also, after a fine-tuning of our risk models, we feel prepared to increase the speed of growth in this segment to maximize the portfolio's profitability while maintaining this loan book within the organization's risk appetite. Finally, it is important to highlight that even though we expect wholesale banking to grow at a lower rate than the portfolio, this growth is quite noteworthy after a year of contraction in a scenario of aggressive competition and low demand for credit. Regarding the cost of risk for 2018, we expect it to be between 1.6% and 1.7%. This is in line with the level posted for the underlying portfolio in 2017 and a scenario with better loan growth in 2018. Moving on to the net interest margin, in 2018 we believe it will be between 5.3% and 5.5%. This means a slight increase with regard to a level of 5.28% posted in 2017, as it should reflect a higher pace of growth in high-margin business segments. It is important to note that considering estimates for cost of risk and NIM, then risk-adjusted NIM should recover from the level of 4.11% posted in 2017. In terms of operating efficiency, we expect the efficiency ratio to maintain the level reached last year, even though we believe income generation will recover and that could improve efficiency. We have decided to speed up the execution of the transformation project, which will require more expenses and investments. However, we believe this strategic project, although not focused on efficiency, will give us capabilities to improve efficiency as a byproduct in the medium long term. Regarding the Common Equity Tier 1 ratio for BCP standalone, we have set a minimum of 10.5% for the first quarter every year after we declare dividends from BCP to Credicorp. Finally, we expect ROE for year 2018 to situate between 17.5% and 18.5%. This reflects our decision to speed up the transformation project in a scenario where the loan book is expected to expand below potential due to some business segments. Nonetheless, we continue to believe that Credit Corp's sustainable ROE will fluctuate around 19%. To achieve this, investment in transformation is key. With this comment, I would like to open the Q&A session, please.
Thank you. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touchtone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, press star 2. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1 now. Our first question comes from Jason Moyne with Scotiabank.
Hi, thank you very much. Morning, Fernando. My first question is on the profitability trend that we saw in the fourth quarter. We saw a very good bottom line and very strong return on equity. But if we strip out the gain from the sale of Enel in the quarter on the back of the higher provisions and lower NIM, we saw the recurring, I would call it, ROE decline to 16.5%. I just wanted to see if you can give us some color here. Clearly, you had a good bottom line. You had this gain. You made some provisions in the fourth quarter, and you're talking about a sustainable ROE in the, well, at least in 2018, of in the 18% range and even higher following your investments. If you can just give us some color on that. And secondly, if you can talk about potential regulatory changes for Peruvian banks, if there's some expectations that the bank has for this year or next, that would be interesting to hear. Thank you.
Thank you, Jason. First, on your second question on the regulatory changes, we actually don't foresee anything important coming, not only in terms of banking regulation, but financial services regulation as a whole. As we have talked many times, we have a very close relationship with the regulators, with everyone, the central bank, the superintendency, and we are all the time ruled, and they have lots of information of ours. We have a very constructive relationship. We don't see something important coming in terms of regulation. Then on your first question, yes, we had a one-time item in our fourth quarter. In general, we believe that the numbers for our fourth quarter, the recurring numbers, are more or less where we should be next year. As we mentioned, the tailwinds are really what is happening to the loan book. We begin to see some more appetite for investment in the business community, both foreign and local. So that is good. Then in terms of our loan portfolio, I think that our underlying trends show that we are doing much better in terms of the health of it, and we will continue to stress our efficiency, with the exception, as we mentioned, of this transformation project, which we can discuss later on. So we see a better year in 2018. That's at least our forecast for BCP, and you should expect that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Philip Finch with UBS.
Hi, Fernando. Thank you for the presentation. My question, first of all, is regarding your capital position. Given your assumptions on loan growth and ROEs, how much capital do you think you could generate this year in 2018 through retained earnings? And linked to that, given your Common Equity Tier 1 ratio was 11.78% in Q4 last year, how much scope do you have to return more capital to shareholders? And my second question is linked to all of this. You just gave ROE guidance for 2018 at 17.5% to 18.5%. What capital levels are you assuming behind this guidance? Thank you.
As we mentioned, when we talk about the first quarter at 10.5% Common Equity Tier 1, What we have decided also is that, you know, within our risk appetite, we will let all the subsidiaries provide dividends to the holding companies in March. We won't keep any excess capital at a subsidiary level. All the capital will go, you know, as I mentioned, after we comply with all our risk appetite rules, internal rules, we will provide that capital to the holding companies. And then, as we mentioned, at the holding company level, we will keep a fund, our, as we have called it, a war chest, of around 10% of total capital. And, you know, above that, we will pay dividends to our shareholders. That's what has, well, that has been already decided in our board. I don't know if I answer your question with that answer.
Okay, thank you. And what about the ROE guidance, please, Fernando?
Which guidance? ROE?
The ROE guidance you gave, 17.5% to 18.5%?
Yeah, as I said, our ROE guidance for the year is between 17.5% and 18.5%. However, we think that our sustainable ROE, after we finish with all this transformation effort, which is a huge one, should probably hover around 19%.
Okay, thank you, Fernando.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Ernesto Gabilondo with Bank of America Merrill Lynch.
Hi, good morning, Fernando, and thanks for taking my call. A couple of questions from my side. The results, when I look to the bottom line, that it was favored by the sale of the Entel shares and by the reversal of excess provisions related to the improvement of your ATM's process, what should be the level, the recurring level of net income in 2017? Also, in terms of your cost of risk, I think you're guiding 1.6-1.7%. And I think you stood at 1.7% in 2017. So what are the reasons behind to expect a lower cost of risk, even with a strategy to expand the portfolio into higher yield products? And also a follow-up with your ROE guidance. Why is it lower than the reported in 2017? Thank you.
Thank you, Ernesto. I didn't get your last question, but I will begin answering the cost of risk one. As we have mentioned many times, we have been working extensively in terms of managing risk, especially retail risk. We have worked along the whole process, meaning all the admission pieces, all the behavioral scores, all the policies, back and forth assessments and experiments with what we've done there. We've also worked on the collections part extensively, but this has been done for many years already, bringing not only people from abroad that help us, that is helping us there, but actually strengthening all our models, which we feel you never finish with it, but we already feel very comfortable of the tools and the process that we have. So we are beginning to expand a little bit on the risk that we are willing to take, and that is proving not only interesting, but fruitful. So we will probably continue to do that in the near future, and this is a trial and error, learn-to-learn effort that we will continue doing. But this is only what we've done at the BCP level. In all the other subsidiaries, we've been working also with this, especially in Banco, where things are improving importantly, as you can see in the numbers of Banco in our report. And we will continue to do that. So that's why we feel that the underlying trends of risk should be improving day by day. This is considering that the economic situation doesn't go wrong, especially because of political influences, which we discussed in the beginning of our presentation. then you complete your last question, which I didn't get because it was, the communication was cut.
Yeah, my last question was about the ROE guidance of 17.5%, 18.5%. I think it's a little bit lower than the reported in 2017.
Okay, so I'm sorry, but I will cut for a few seconds and try to switch. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will continue with the teleconference in just one moment. Please continue to hold. Ladies and gentlemen, we now have our speaker back in conference. Mr. Dasler, you may continue.
Yes, Ernesto, I'm waiting for your last question.
Yeah, sure. A follow-up in your ROE guidance, which was 17.5 to 18.5. I think it's a little bit lower than the reported in 2017. So I just want to know the assumptions behind.
Well, as we mentioned, we have actually we are working on this transformation project. What is really a transformation? Our clients really need us to serve them differently. This is not only in terms of the channels that they approach, but in terms of all the whole service that we provide to them. This is changing very fast. We are investing importantly on that. We've last year invested around 71 million soles, and this year we'll probably invest double of that figure. That should be happening during the next 2-3 years. It has begun at the BCP level, but then it will continue at the other subsidiaries level. We need to do that. This is the moment to do it. We have very low efficiency ratio numbers, and that's why we are receiving that pressure for this year, 2017 and 2018. But then we should, after finishing the bulk of this project, we should continue, we should resume the ROE numbers that will hover probably around 19%, but definitely with a better service provided to our clients. That's really our goal.
Okay, understood. And so with this project, how will be the amount in 2018 and what should be the OPEX role this year?
Well, the amount for this specific project should cover around 160, 180 million soles. And it will have definitely, I don't have it calculated, but an impact on the operating expenses.
Okay, thank you very much, Fernando.
Thank you, Ernesto.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Carlos Macedo with Goldman Sachs.
Thanks. Good morning, gentlemen. Fernando. Quick clarification, then a question. When your guidance for average balance outstanding 6-8%, is that the average balance for the year, or is the average balance for fourth quarter over fourth quarter?
It is for the year.
So basically, you're saying the average balance for 2018 will be 6-8% higher than the average balance for 2017. And in fact, when you look at end to end, you might have much stronger growth if you're basically doing a lot faster, growing a lot faster at the end of the year. And would that be the right read?
You are right.
Okay. So within that range, I know you gave some color that retail should grow faster than wholesale. Could you give us a little bit more color? I mean, are we talking double digits? Maybe in the past, retail loans have grown at, you know, three times GDP, and you have 3.5% for GDP. Is that something that is in the realm of possibilities?
We feel that the engine should probably be Mibanco, SME Pyme, and those should be around, say, 11-12%. We don't see those 20% figures that we saw in the past. So those will be the engines. I mean, SME, Mibanco, maybe a little bit on the consumer part, that could be around 9%. Then Bolivia should continue growing. Bolivia will probably have a good year because the election is in 2019. So, you know, years before elections usually are better in terms of what the government does to try to become reelected. So that should improve numbers in Bolivia. And then in wholesale, what we really need is investment. And for investment to resume growth, we really need to have a better situation, a better business sentiment for people to invest. And I'm not only talking about the huge projects, the huge mining infrastructure and whatever projects, but also all the projects undertaken by middle market companies and this type of entity.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Carlos.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Tito Labarta with Deutsche Bank.
Thanks, Fernando, for the call. My first question was on if you can give an update on the political environment. You mentioned in the beginning that you did lower the GDP growth forecast for this year. Do you think the worst is behind it? Could it be more noise? Could it be more impact on growth and infrastructure projects? If you can just give an update on that, would be helpful. And then my second question, just looking at the efficiency ratio, which at the lower end of the base scenario, you expect it to be stable. Just want to get some of the assumptions behind that. Given loan growth of 6% at that level and roughly stable margin, does that mean expenses should grow around 6% this year? What about fee income? Fees were good in the quarter, but only up 4% on the full year. What kind of expectations should we expect for fees in that guidance that you're giving? Thank you.
Tito, I didn't get exactly the last question, but I'll begin with the political environment. In the political arena, we expect more turbulence, we expect more noise. We talk about there are important tailwinds on the economy because the world is doing better. There is some volatility now in the stock exchanges, but the underlying numbers are telling us that the world, especially developed countries, are doing better. That is what the IMF is telling us, ourselves. That is the common view. So that really helps. The commodity prices are doing well. They are supposed to even improve a little bit during this year. So, our macro numbers are doing well. If we talk about the trade balance, if we talk about the current account balance, if we talk about the reserve, inflation, I won't go one by one, but all of them are doing well. So the economy is there, prepared for growth. Unfortunately, the political side is not helping. We have a lot of friction between Congress and the administration. We have a very weak government right now, we don't know exactly what's going to happen in the next month. But yes, the business sentiment is receiving some bad influence from what is happening on the political side. I think that this is not behind, that it will stay for a while, some months, while these politicians get their act together. That's what we can say until now. Then, on the efficiency ratio, as I mentioned, I didn't get exactly the question, but what I can tell you is that we have realized that we still need to go further down in terms of efficiency. And we have a clear commitment inside our management and inside the not only BCP, but all the other companies, that we should continue pushing further in terms of efficiency. Things are changing importantly on the financial services. We need to have better numbers to be able to compete in the future. We will continue pressing further. We still have important projects to undertake. What's going to happen with IT? We are replanning it. We will probably rebuild all our IT in the coming 3-5 years. We are actually understanding what we do with our branch network, not only at BCP, but at other subsidiaries. So there are plans there, and we should probably go further down. I don't know if these two particular next years will be those years because of what we talked about, the transformation efforts, but we will continue pushing further down in terms of efficiency.
Thanks, Fernando. That's helpful. Just a couple follow-ups. Part of my question was also trying to understand some of the assumptions behind the stable efficiency. So just given the 6% loan growth and roughly stable margin, is it safe to assume that expenses should grow around 6%? And what does that mean for fee income? Fees grew around 4% last year. Is that the kind of growth we should continue to expect in fees?
As we mentioned, grow in our loan book by 6 to 8%. And in terms of the other income, we should probably be hover around between 4% and 5%. I didn't get your question completely because the communication is just very bad. But if that is what you asked, maybe those are the answers.
Yeah, so almost. I'll try to ask it one more time if I can. So the 4% to 5%, I think that's for the fee income or another income, which makes sense. And then does that imply roughly 6% expense growth, given you expect stable efficiency on the lower end of your guidance?
Yes, that is accurate.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you, Tito.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Carlos Rivera with Citigroup.
Hi. Good morning, everyone. Thanks, Fernando, for the presentation. My first question is regarding the competitive outlook, particularly towards the end of the year. Loan growth, we didn't see much acceleration in terms of the average daily balance, but if we look at the end-of-year balance, there was significant quarter-over-quarter growth. So just wondering if this was at the result of the market growing faster towards the end of the year, or was more probably Credit Corp being more aggressive and trying to regain that market share. That is my first question. My second question is related to the outlook for the cost of risk. I understand all the improvements that you have made, but do you see any risk for higher cost of risk related to the construction companies? I mean, we've heard some articles that there was an interview from one of your peers saying that banks have stopped issuing guarantees for many construction companies given the risks related to corruption investigations that could affect their liquidity. So are you concerned at all in at this point? And if you could share with us your exposure to construction companies. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On your first question, Carlos, competitive outlook. Yes, as you know, this year has been a year of low growth, and when that happens, competition gets stronger. And we have endured that during the year. The good thing was that at the end of the year, things began to improve, the business sentiment began to move faster, and yes, the market began to grow faster, especially in wholesale. But on the other hand, we also decided in wholesale that we wanted to be more competitive, more aggressive at the year. So it was really both influences, the market moving faster and we being more aggressive. Then in terms of cost of risk and construction companies, we have, you know, that problem is not behind. It is far from being behind. We are in the middle of it. Unfortunately, it also deals with political issues. So we, I mean, this is not only our bank, but all the other competitors are working together to try to see what could be the solution to this. But that won't happen fast. And we will continue, I mean, being assessing the situation day by day, trying to understand what could be the way out. But I don't see things happening soon. We still need the Congress and many institutions trying to, you know, get out of this problematic situation.
Okay, any exposure level you could share with us, or given that it is not an immediate impact, you don't see a major risk for this year?
We don't share this figure with the market. What I can tell you is that we've been working extensively on this exposure for years, and now we feel comfortable with the numbers we have, with the collateral we have, and with the provisions. But this said, now we see what unravels in the coming months.
Okay. Thank you very much, Fernando, for the answers.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Yuri Fernandez with J.P. Morgan.
Hi, Fernando. This is actually Domingos here for the question. Thank you for taking the call. I noticed a significant change in speech in the press release, more constructive tone towards growth. So my question is, what exactly is driving that and also the loan acceleration? More specifically, what kind of approval rate did you have most of 2017 or in the first half? And what's the kind of approval rate for new loan applications you're having now or in early 2018? And if it's not the approval rate that changed, what exactly, you know, what's the strategy that, you know, that's basically driving some of this change in view?
Thank you, Domingo. If we talk about loan acceleration, we need to go piece by piece. If we see what is happening in wholesale, as I mentioned, business sentiment improved during the second half of the year, and we also were more aggressive on lending. You know, the situation was a little better, that helped. Then if we go to retail, as you know, the last campaign of the year is very important in retail, especially in SME, but also in consumer, and we took advantage of that. And we also took advantage of that with that multiplier effect of improving our approval rate. We won't be talking about approval rates here. It's too specific, maybe we can have a further call in the future. But yes, we feel much more comfortable with the way of managing risk that we have, in risk of understanding our clients, taking advantage of that. And that is what we can tell you for retail portfolio. Then Vivanco has been doing fine during the whole year. It has grown by around 10% in 2017, and we continue to see good figures there. They really understand the market and have really are in a best position to continue growing. Bolivia also had a good year. So in general, we see figures improving. That's why we are talking about that 6-8% growth in the portfolio next year.
Okay. Listen, thank you.
Thank you, Domingo.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Alonso Garcia with Credit Suisse.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for taking my question. First, just to clarify, is the time frame for this plan, investment plan, to be concluded at the next couple of years, I mean 2018 and 2019, or can it extend to 2020 or further? And also related to this, I was wondering, how do you feel in terms of the current digital capabilities of BCP vis-a-vis the market? I mean, is this investment plan intended to put you ahead of peers, or does it imply just a catch-up with the rest of the peers? Thank you.
Thank you, Alonso. And your second question, on our competitive position against the market, I continue to think that we have a very good position, a leading position to try to actually lead the market. Yes, at one point, because of the margin contraction, we were much aware of how to be or not compete in terms of pricing. But we continue to feel that we have a very good understanding of the market and of our clients. We have been working on price, working on data analysis, on ways of really approaching options and competition. We come without it very strong in terms of our competitive capabilities. And much stronger than in the past. We've been talking about modeling, in terms of risk, but we are also modeling in terms of pricing. We are also very much aware of how should we approach and reach our clients with better offers. So I think that our position is really very strong, intact, and we are actually willing to take advantage of that in the coming months.
Perfect. I'm sorry, just again, the time frame for this investment plan to be concluded, is it next year or can it extend to 2020 as well?
I don't get you. I'm sorry, Alonso.
Yes, will you...
Are you asking about how many years will the transformation take?
Exactly.
Further on?
Exactly.
Okay. I think that you never finish with this prophecy, but I think that the bulk of it will take the next 2 years at BCP, and then maybe 1 or 2 more years in all the other subsidiaries. It's a very comprehensive process, and as it is titled, a very transformational one. We are learning day by day. It's not really that we know exactly where should we be heading, but we are learning, and we, our clients are telling us, I like this, don't like the other. So that's a complete process. 2 years for the bulk of it to be undertaken.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Sergey Dubin with Harding Loevner.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for the call. Just a couple of questions. The first one on the interest rate trajectory in Peru, as well as your net interest margin. So if I heard you correctly, you said that, you know, you expect another 25 basis point cut in 2018. Could you just outline what's driving the central bank thinking there, given that the economy seems to be recovering, you know, as a kind of stimulus measure, or what's driving that? And then related question with that is, you know, in the back of that sort of rate decrease, you still for, and, you know, your NIM has compressed, obviously, in the last quarter of this year, but you're forecasting an expansion, and part of it would be due to business mix, but, you know, would that be enough, your business mix change, would that be enough to offset the competition in wholesale as well as rate decrease? That's the first question. The second one is, which I'm surprised you didn't mention, is there anything on IFRS 9 that you guys see in terms of cost of risk and capital? And is IFRS 9 even being implemented in Peru, I guess, the first question? And if so, how would it impact Credicorp? Thanks.
Thank you, Sergey. If we talk about the trajectory of the reference rate in soles, yes, it has come down since April by 125 basis points already. It now sits at 3%. We plan the central bank to bring it down again. We don't know if it will be February, but basically probably March, by another 25 basis points. They are doing this, we feel, especially because the inflation is under control. Now our inflation is 1.3%. That is really below the target of the central bank, which is 2%. The base, February, March, April last year were months of high inflation, so the base is really high. So we'll probably be lower than 1% in March or April, and then it will resume growth, the inflation, and it will probably end the year at 2.5%. So there is room in terms of inflation to bring it down, and also because we all feel that growth is not, GDP growth is not what it should be. And if they could bring some more stimulus there, monetary stimulus, it would definitely help. And we feel that that's really on their minds now as well. But we'll see. Is that going to affect our NIM? We don't feel that it will affect our NIM importantly. It's only around 25 bits. We are in the competition, especially. And last year, I think we will be better than where they are. And then on your third question, the IFRS 9 impact. That impact is really for this year. As you know, it is actually for that specific hit will be actually the first day of this year. We've already calculated. As you know, we are a very conservative institution, and we had our provisions very strong before it. So we don't feel that it will move the needle. We already have the numbers. We cannot really disclose those numbers yet, but you should keep in mind that it won't be an important effect on our balance sheet this year.
It's not really
balance sheet because it goes directly into our capital. It doesn't go through the P&L.
Right, but in terms of the cost of risk guidance that you gave, which is 1.6 to 1.7, does that incorporate, you know, the IFRS 9 sort of, you know, adjustments, or is that, you know, fully baked in the expected loss model that they require?
It includes those calculations already.
Got it. Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Carlos Gomez with HSBC New York.
Hello, good morning. A very specific question. I wanted to know the level of tax that you paid in your sale of Enel shares, tax on Enel shares. Second, could you tell us what impact, if any, the U.S. tax reform is going to have on you? And what your expected tax rate is going to be for the future. And finally, if I may ask, can you give us some details about what the transformation project involves? 3-4 years ago, you already went through an extensive review of your expenses. You have done transformations in the past. What is it exactly that you're focusing on right now? What actions are you taking? What is changing at the bank? Thank you.
First, on your tax question, you asked about the tax on which share?
Enel
share. Well, on the Enel transaction, we didn't have to pay any taxes because of the regulations. If those shares are traded at the Lima Stock Exchange and provided there are one or two more pieces, we didn't need to pay any taxes. So that was the case for those shares. Yes. And then on tax, tax reform, U.S. tax reform. We are assessing what could happen, but I don't see any important influence on that regulation, on that tax reform in our business. And the third one was the transformation project. Well, it involves changing the way not only in which we approach and serve our clients in many ways, meaning what are the channels that we'll provide to them and the different mixture of channels that we'll provide to them, what are the products that we'll provide to them, how are we going to approach them. Imagine, you know, our clients are not comparing us to our neighboring bank, to our competitor. They are actually comparing us with the service they receive from the Amazons or the Tencents of the world. And that's really where financial institutions should be concentrated and heading. And that's a complete change of mind here. It involves a very comprehensive effort in terms of culture, of how should we at BCP and our subsidiaries behave towards our clients and towards our teamwork. It's a complete change that I have to tell you. So it involves many years, as I mentioned before.
Okay, thank you very much. I guess at some point you probably want to expand about. Yeah, I said at some point you probably want to expand as to what has changed, how you did things before, and how you do them now. Can I go back to the taxes and ask you once more what your long-term expected tax rate will be, if you can reconfirm?
Our tax rate income tax rate in Peru is 29.5%. Depending on the instruments we have and the way we manage our business, we hover around 26-27% every year. We expect that to continue today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Joshua Vega with Integra.
Thank you. Good morning, Fernando, and thank you for taking my question. I would like to know about the exposure to the construction sector here in Peru and to the companies involved in the construction club scandal. How difficult and expensive is to get the bank letter for these companies so that they can participate in the bidding process? I mean, are you tightening the credit lines for these companies or making the loans more expensive? Thank you.
As you know, this has been recent news. This construction companies club. We are assessing the position that we have with this client, and yes, we are trying to understand what is really the way forward with all the other institutions, with all the other banking institutions as well. I cannot be really specific or detailed in terms of this, because we are in the middle of the problem, but what I can tell you is that we are putting all our efforts with the authorities and the other banking institutions to try to understand what is the way out and to make it the best effort in terms of the country, because we really need construction to be an engine for our economy.
Okay, and about the condition of the credit lines to these companies, I mean, what is going to be your position? Are you going to help them to win more business, or are you going to make more tighten the credit lines?
Our approach is always to try to help our clients. On this particular situation, we will always go case by case, on a case-by-case basis, understanding what is the new project, why should they need the credit facility, and we will make decisions as we have done in the past.
Thank you. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Credicorp's CEO, Mr. Walter Bailey, for closing remarks.
Good morning to all of you, and thank you very much for joining us in this call. 2017 was quite a disappointing year. We started the year with a very positive outlook, to the extent that we had a new administration that had a series of good initiatives and a view of where to take the country, which was not dissimilar to what the main opposition party had in mind as well. Unfortunately, all this failed to materialize, and political infighting amongst the political forces really did not create a very positive scenario for growth. On top of that, we started the year with El Niño, and then quite rapidly the Lavallato case came up, which paralyzed and rendered useless a quite detailed plan that the new administration had regarding infrastructure investments. So it was quite a disappointing year from that point of view. Nevertheless, we have not been idle. We've been working diligently inside our organizations. We continue with our transformation process at the bank, at the insurance company, and at Mibanco. Obviously, the bank is slightly ahead, but the other institutions are equally going with their own programs. And we specifically decided that we did not want to stop investing or doing this transformation, knowing quite well that in the short run, this would affect profitability, return on equity, and cost-to-income ratios. But in the long run, we thought that the wise decision was to continue going forward with our long-term plans. Not only have we been working on the transformation, but a lot of our management practices, streamlining risk management, particularly on the retail side, which has had given us good results, our collection process, data, which Fernando mentioned, and pricing techniques. So we have been working on improving our management skills quite diligently. We are also very focused on looking at new sources of efficiency. As Fernando also mentioned, the current level of efficiencies is not where we want to be. We think that there's more room, but it requires a lot more work. We're reviewing our footprint, our branches, our agentes, our ATMs, and in general how we interact with our customers. And of course, we're, as everybody else, reviewing our IT architecture, robotics, and artificial intelligence. So yes, we have to keep pushing forward the current level of efficiency, even though we have advanced a lot, it's not the end result. Furthermore, we have been also working, reorganizing all of Credit Corp, aligning the different functions and the different subsidiaries to be more organized and prepare this new Credit Corp for the next 10 to 15 years. So even though it has been a disappointing year in terms of results, market activity, and whatnot, we think that we have been working diligently to provide a better place where we can capture growth when it comes. The macro scenario going forward is kind of difficult because the overall world scenario seems to be good. The development of the world as against global nation helping. On the other hand, we have this amount of political noise and came over. How these two forces work is difficult to conduct, but of course conservative in trying to give guidance. It doesn't make sense for a country with a level of penetration of the banking industry that we have to continue growing at 6-8% in terms of risk-weighted assets. The potential obviously is there for more, but we try to be very conservative because we have, as I mentioned, these two forces going against each other. A good macroeconomic scenario, particularly worldwide, and a complicated political scenario in the short run. But be reassured that we are working diligently, and when it is that growth comes, we will be more than prepared to capture it with all our different businesses, be that BCP, Mibanco, the insurance, the pension funds, and all of our subsidiaries. So again, thank you very much. It's been a disappointing year, but nevertheless, I think we continue to be very focused on providing long-term profitability both to our shareholders and to our customers. So again, thank you very much, and with this, we conclude our full year 2017 conference call. Thank you and goodbye.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's teleconference. You may now disconnect.